Our first scripture lesson is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. Both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Our second lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." Our gospel lesson is taken from the gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And this is the sole hymn attributed to Johannes Herbst that we have in our hymnal, and we enjoy it very much. Hope you do too.
Thank you for your kind words, Pastor Don, in introducing me this morning. I appreciate being here. It's always good to be with you people, whether I'm sitting out there or standing here. Either way, it's good to be back. Thank you so very much. Whenever I drive down or ride down the hill coming into Ephraim, I can't help but look across the water and see the two steeples that stand as sentinels over the village. We've been able to do that now for one reason or another for about 35 years, and that sight always lifts me up. I have great appreciation for the treasured history of this building and its storied past. There is no question that this congregation and this church have provided unbelievable guidance and light to to this community for a very long time. But the fact of the matter is that I have never really driven past a building that can rightfully be called a church. We call them churches, but it's true that there is no building that is a church. And so why do I say that? I, at this time, as I look out upon you and see you gathered in this place, I see the church. It is you. You people who are called, gathered, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and gifted with a spirit of openness and service, and you are led by a very deeply gifted pastor, I might say. Although, there is but one grief I have with Pastor Dawn. She told me to keep it short. You did, in a matter of fashion, didn't you?
Of course, always.
See, confession is good for the soul. But I'm wondering to whom she's been speaking. I hope it isn't my wife. In any case, dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When we think of blessings, we almost always think of what God gives us, those things that we have. After all, is that not the definition of what a blessing is? What we get, what we receive, what is ours? To be sure, God's blessings are just that, gifts, gifts from His hand. A loving family, a good job, good friends, good food, health, shelter, freedom, the gift of each sunrise and sunset, every breath that we take, the blessings that God gives, we can never, ever count. They are more numerous than the stars in the heavens. But I would like for us to think about blessings in a little different way today. While reading this text from John 15, which has at its base a little bit of fear built into it, I find that in fact it is pure, unadulterated gospel. For all of its threatening language, I find herein that our Lord God is speaking to us directly into the heart, into our hearts, with His eternally loving, beating heart that beats along with ours. I think that the reason that it's a little different to think about this particular story, this Bible text, is for us to take a different twist and a different angle of looking upon it as only, not only, those things that we have as blessings. Sometimes our greatest blessings are those things that God allows to be taken away from us. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it more fruitful. This, of course, in Jesus' day, referred to the grapevines. The vine grower had to give the vines a lot to make them grow. Of that, there is no uncertainty. He had to water the vines. He had to fertilize them, maybe use compost. But also, at the same time, there are things that needed to be taken away or pruned. The dead and diseased limbs needed to be taken off. They needed to be cut off in order to give the healthy limbs more sunlight, to keep them from disease, and to let them receive more nutrients from the vine itself. Why? in order that they may in like manner bear more fruit. In this county, of course, we're very familiar with that, with the cherry and the apple orchards that are so prevalent in Door County and for which we are famous. Trees are pruned as a matter of routine, and it seems sometimes that so much is cut back from the trees, you wonder if they're not killing them in the process. But the great harvest of apples and cherries would never occur without the pruning that has preceded the pruning. Jesus uses this common truth from nature to teach a profound spiritual truth, that God, the great vine grower, also prunes our lives for the very same reasons, that we may grow constantly into that person that God has created us to be, the God that wants us to become what we can become because of his gifts to us, so that we might be more fruitful, that we might be more growing and maturing into our own likeness in Christ Jesus. God's blessings are not always additions, but sometimes subtractions. Not what we receive, but that which is removed. So God, too, sometimes prunes things from our lives, and that process and that loss can be very, very painful, and we can resist it a great deal. It is our nature to resist. A ship was wrecked one time, and the only survivor was a man who washed up on a small, uninhabited island, and he was absolutely exhausted from his horrifying experience. And he cried out to God that he might be saved. And every day, for day upon day upon day, he scanned the horizon, searching for help. And finally, after being there so long, he managed to build a hut of some nature, more likely a shack, into which he put the very few belongings that he had with him. And one day when he was coming home after hunting and looking for food, he was stung with grief to see that his hut was in flames. Nothing was left behind but the clouds of smoke that hovered over the remains of his hut. The very next day, a ship drew in and rescued him, and he asked, "How did you know that I was here?" And they replied, "We saw your smoke signal." Losses and setbacks and things not turning out as we expected or hoped are not necessarily negative. Maybe they hurt deeply in the present, but when we give some time to pass and when we develop perspective, we realize that they were in fact blessed subtractions, necessary losses for our own well-being. We need pruning in other ways as well. We are grafted into Christ and we belong to him. We have realized that Jesus is the source of our life. His love has profoundly changed us. In him we live and move and have our being. But the truth be told, that there are dead limbs on and in us too that prevent us from bearing fruit. And though we call ourselves Christians, that we call ourselves followers of Jesus, does not mean that we have had removed from us all of our old
habits, our old thoughts, our old behaviors. We still struggle with closing our minds and hearts, even with all the persistence of Jesus to change us. We still have old branches that need to be pruned if we are to be fully grafted in Christ and bear good fruit. Now, here's an important thing to note about this particular text. There is no place in this text where it says that we should be looking for and pruning the other branches in the vineyard. How easy it is for us to seek out the faults and the failures of others and not our own. We do not come to worship, after all, to confess one another's sins. Pruning is not easily done. It is an art best left to the expert. For we barely know our own inner being, much less of anyone else's. Would you measure your growth, my friends, in Christ? Do you want to see how deeply you are entwined with Him and in Him, and He in you? Are you growing daily in your love for God and for your brothers and your sisters, even those whom you have not yet met and perhaps never will? The great lesson that I see in our reading for today is that we need to look at blessings in a whole new light. When we pray for blessings, it's not just for that which we want, the things we deserve, the things that we think will make our life more fulfilling, not just for additions to our lives, but also for the blessings that come from the subtractions. And to that I say, Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever.